Holy shitballs, here we are. The amazing conclusion to our 4-movie series. And we've saved the best for fucking last. An amazing display of high octane action and amazing cinema like you've never seen before in your whole miserable life.
Hey, Nelson, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I didn't like this movie.
I'm sorry, what?
I mean, you know this. I fell asleep in the theater watching it.
Yeah, but I thought you were exaggerating. Like, come on, gasoline and dudes with flamethrower guitars and, you know, spraying chrome in their teeth and what a lovely, lovely day.
I don't even remember that part.
Oh, I fucking hate you. Well, that's great. Okay. All right. Here we go. Part 4 of episode 50. Mad Max, Fury Road.
Hey, Nelson.
Hmm?
Happy anniversary.
Yeah.
Welcome back to episode 50 of The Holdup. Each month, we pick a movie one of us remembers fondly but hasn't seen in years. We watch it and we decide, does it hold up? I'm John Longinot.
And I'm John Nelson.
And here we are, part 4 of Mad Max.
Everybody is cheering because it's the end. We can go back to doing this once a month rather than once a week.
I am exhausted.
Well,
and we haven't even finished this one. We're just getting started.
I know. We're only 3 movies in. We got one more to go. But hey, welcome back, everybody, to our final episode 50 part.
Yes, the fourth and final part. And thank you for sticking with us all month. At this point, it's getting close to my birthday.
Yay.
So it's time to celebrate.
Your birthday gift is you don't have to do the holdup as much anymore.
That's not true. We're going to be doing this thing till we die.
Oh.
I would have thought earlier that we would have stopped, but nope.
Nope.
Now it's to the old folks home with us. We're going to be doing this for years to come. I'll see you at episode 500. I can't wait.
Ooh.
Speaking of potentially extending our reach, I would like to let you all know that you can reach us at holduppodcast@gmail.com if you have an email like we received from Robin.
Hi, Robin.
It's worth mentioning, by the way, that Robin sent us this email after we had started recording our Mad Max episodes. So we were deep into recording this month's things when we got this in. So, Robin, sorry we couldn't get this in for episode 1, but we're happy to get it in for episode 4. Here we go. She says, Dear Johns,
hi.
Charter listener, fifth time writer.
Fifth? Holy shit. That's more than we deserve.
Happy 4th anniversary and congratulations on your milestone 50th episode. Thank you for putting in the effort. It is appreciated.
Aw, see, somebody cares.
I know. Warms my heart. I'm so glad that Vision Quest lived up to your self-imposed high standard. I wasn't sure for a while whether you'd find another film that held up. I guess we've been or negative on most stuff lately. It was nice to finally get a double hold up in.
Yeah. Well, if she's been listening to the first 3 in this series of Mad Max, then she's heard a lot more yeses then.
That's true. Yes. I have 2 guesses for your next 4-part endeavor. So here we go. A little belated guess. Obviously, cat's out of the bag, but yeah. We'll see how Robin did. I want to guess Clue, but it has only 3 endings. So instead, here are my guesses.
That would have been clever. It's like, we're going to do 4 parts, but it's all one movie.
Same movie. Although I prefer to live my life in denial and pretend it was a trilogy, I'm guessing the Indiana Jones series. I predict that the odd ones hold up and the even ones don't. Or 2... A John Hughes fest of The Breakfast Club, Some Kind of Wonderful, Pretty in Pink, and 16 Candles.
Ooh.
Optimistically, I predict that the first 2 or maybe 3 hold up, but the last 1 doesn't. Keep up the good work, gentlemen. Warm regards, Robin.
Oh, thank you, Robin.
That's 2 guesses for Indiana Jones.
I really biffed it by like throwing in that can you dig it business now, didn't I?
Well, it's a sort of a double trick because you said, can you dig it? And then I said... oh, there's a little hint.
Right.
It's going to be four parts. And I wasn't referring to your Can You Dig It? Right. I was just referring to the fact that it was four movies.
Right.
But it obviously played like Can You Dig It with some kind of hint at the movie. But anyway, Robin, thank you for writing us at holduppodcast@gmail.com. Unfortunately, no one really won our prize
I know.
That you had mentioned.
I'm going to have to either...
So we might have to save that.
We'll have to save it for next time. But thank you guys for writing in and guessing. That was exactly two more guesses than I was expecting anyway. So
in
that's
fact,
cool.
I have an idea.
Oh.
Whatever mystery prize you had,
uh-huh.
Let's encourage some emails. We will start accepting emails and write in for anything you want at holduppodcast@gmail.com. Talk to us about questions or comments or ideas for episodes and stuff. And then the seventh email we receive, the seventh. We'll get the prize. So we'll check back in 2 years.
When we receive our seventh email. You've got bold ambitions, but I like it.
Hey, you know, a little bit of bribery never hurt. Let's see them emails come in, baby.
And man, will it be worth the wait? All right. Well, thank you for writing in. Also, another piece of old business that I haven't been able to address until now. You may have noticed, those who go to our social media sites, that we have new artwork up there.
That's right. Which began with the... part one of Mad Max.
Right.
But I did not witness it. It was a surprise for me. Thank
yeah.
you, John. I hadn't seen it until our recording of this
yeah,
episode.
I mean, I showed him the new art yesterday that was done by our friend Jeremy Bear, who is the co-host of the podcast The Freshman 15. You've heard them on this very podcast for the Crocodile Dundee episode.
Yes, and it looked fantastic. Thank you so much, Jeremy Bear.
Oh, my God.
I really have nothing but absolute kind words to say about it. I was floored by it. I was not expecting it. I'm glad that Nelson commissioned that from you. It will probably be our banner for the next 50
4 years. Yeah. Well, the Jay Lender art isn't going anywhere. We're going to use it for something, but I love all these different interpretations of
yeah.
us. It's like we're Kevin Smith and people are giving us different drawings.
It's the most in shape I've ever looked. So
yes, thank you, Jeremy, for making us muscular and thank you for making us muscular.
And alas, Mr. Nelson, that brings us to tonight's events,
How
which is, of course...
dare you, sir?
Hold the lids. We'll get there. We're going to be watching Mad Max Fury Road.
Yes, we are.
A quintessential classic that everyone just drools over and says it's the greatest action movie of all time, in air quotes or whatever.
I can't even look you in the eye. You're so grumpy about this movie. It's... You have witnessed at least two other movies that are amazing.
Yes.
And then you still think back on Fury Road with like, nah.
All right. Well, we've sort of danced around this the entire time we've been discussing Mad Max. Let's just get it out there. Get it open. Confess, as Nelson is alluding to, I do not like Mad Max Fury Road. Everyone thinks I'm insane. I've only seen it one time.
Right.
We're at that part. When did you see it? One time in the theater. I know everyone else has seen it a lot more. And it's also worth mentioning this is a far more recent film, and we're sort of cheating, putting
almost.
It into the hold
it's
up.
It's almost a cheat, but the thing that sort of made me think, yeah, we should include it, is it came out like maybe a month or two before we started the podcast.
Yes.
So it seemed like, well, this is the right, you know, moment to celebrate, you know, that movie.
Yeah. And so I think it's worth doing for two reasons. One, it's been 4 years. So while that's a little under our usual length, usually we aim for at least 10 years.
Oh, well, sometimes I thought five or ten.
Yeah. But so this one's a little too close. But I think it is worth noting that I did have a negative opinion of it and still do. And I think there is potential for a re-look at the movie, given what we've seen with the other Mad Max films that are all quite good. And it's also worth noting that, you know, when Mad Max Fury Road came out, my daughter was less than a year old or about a year old. And when I went and saw it in the theater, I was exhausted and it was a late show and I fell asleep through like a third of the movie. A lot of people get on me about that. They're like, how did you fall asleep in this movie? But since I sort of knocked out, Nelson, before we continue, maybe you can give the listeners a sort of like, what is Mad Max Fury Road? Catch us up to speed.
Mad Max Fury Road is the fourth movie in the series that George Miller went back and made in his fucking 70s, which is crazy given how insane this movie is. And he made the he took the Mel Gibson part and shunted it over to Tom Hardy because Mel Gibson had shot his mouth off one too many times. That I guess was kind of box office poison, or maybe they didn't like each other, or maybe he was unavailable. I don't know. But there's another Mad Max. Or at least another actor playing Mad Max. And this has been the subject of many theories, both in the fan community and on this show, as we keep saying at the end of every episode of this last three episodes, oh, I bet that kid turns out to be the Tom Hardy Mad Max. Anyway, it's Mad Max, and he is sort of a secondary character in his own movie. He's sort of just zipping along and doing his usual thing, you know, traveling the desert. And then he gets sort of, as is usual, captured by a band of weirdos and outlaws. And they are led by the same guy who played the toe cutter.
Yes.
Same actor, but a different...
From the original Mad Max film.
Yeah, the original...
The first movie.
The toe cutter is dead, but the actor who played him came back to play the villain, and I forget his name, but it's something, I'm sure, insane. And... he meets this woman named Furiosa, who is a one-armed killing machine, played by Charlize Theron. And right, yes,
that's correct.
Played by Charlize Theron. And at some point, they rip into the desert, and there's a chase, and it lasts about 45 minutes. And at some point, Mad Max and Furiosa decide they're going to escape together and race to the promised land. Spoiler alert. There is no promised land. They're racing to nothing. So now what do? And they turn around and fight in the end, and there you go.
Oh, that's hilarious. I don't remember that part in the movie, that there's no promised land. I must have been asleep.
I mean, it's sort of the
opposite that part.
Of course you were. It's sort of the opposite of Thunderdome. It's like he goes, races to try and find Utopia. In Thunderdome, he finds Utopia, but leaves it. In this, he finds waste and debris and
sure.
then goes back and fights some more.
Well, I recall. Call that Charlize Theron, who's playing Furiosa, is sort of on the run from the main villain, has stolen a band of women that are, I guess, supposed to be the guy's brides or
right.
something.
They're like the milk providers
oh,
or something
yes,
like that.
Oh, yes. They're all sort of wet nurses that are making milk for everyone or something.
Right.
I don't know. It's sort of this weird Handmaid's Tale thing going on where,
right.
where I guess they're being bred to supply milk. Or
basically, they are stuck in a sexual slavery,
yeah.
Whatever you want to call it.
Sure. And so I remember that being a huge impetus for the movie and very much putting you on the side of our heroes against this sort of monster in his spray can huffing nightmare demon people. I was a little underwhelmed by this movie, didn't like it so much, and let me just make my case really clear.
Absolutely.
Because I don't think it's a shitty movie or a bad movie from my memory. It was more like everyone fucking freaked the fuck out about the movie as if it was the greatest movie ever made, and and I was just kind of bored by it. Like,
ugh.
And I talked about this a little bit during the Road Warrior, but it was so incessant in its tone and action, and everything is, as Nigel, from Spinal Tap would say, everything was up to 11. This one, everything was up to 111. Like,
yeah.
Everything was just off the charts crazy. And there were parts of that I appreciated. I liked the bass playing, flame throwing lunatic that's up on top of a truck and stuff. There were definitely things that made me chuckle and laugh. But in terms of tone, I was kind of into it for 15 minutes or so, and then I just started getting bored because it just never lets up, and it honestly lulled me into just boredom and kind of like a peaceful, blissful sleep. And it just lost my attention because there was no plot. Like, there was no story. Not that Mad Max is world of plot.
Yeah, I was going to say, there are two things at work here. One, there is a plot. Just because you fell asleep during it is not George Miller's fault. Two, none of these movies we've established this, none of them have very complicated plots.
Well, I
and
think
it's
by,
to their credit most of the time.
By plot, I don't mean that there's not a narrative, and perhaps I'm misspeaking. This is probably a better way to put it. There's almost no dialogue whatsoever.
Right, that's true.
Okay, and I think that bothered me because I need to care about anyone. I need some dialogue. I need to get to know the character. Mad Max is a character. I mean, those movies get crazy, but you have all the grounding in the world. He has a dog he loves, and he talks to the town, or he has a wife and a child. The original Mad Max has half the movie's downtime with the wife and kids and all that. Mm. And it gives me reason to care. And I actually think I like, of all the characters in the movie, I liked Furiosa. She at least was grounded in right. like a point. I got that she was rebelling. And half the time I just started thinking like, does this movie need Mad Max?
I kind of wonder if the movie was cooked up without Mad Max originally.
I kind of feel like it. And I got to the point where I was like, why is Mad Max in this? Why am I watching 20 minutes of Mad Max doing things? I don't give a shit about Mad Max.
It might be cynical. I mean, there may be a cynical part of A, maybe he just wanted to go back to that character and just was he fell in love with Furiosa. But I think there probably is at least a little bit of cynicism there where it's like, I want to tell this story about a kick-ass one-armed lady, and I probably won't get anybody to pay for it if I don't say, and there's a dude right. in it. I mean, I don't know if that's a money thing or an audience Maybe. Thing, but and I'm pretty sure that to him it's like, well, this is Furiosa's movie. Mad Max is just there to open the door and let her into the series.
It also doesn't help to me that this character of Mad Max, who's basically barely present and really doesn't matter at all, is played by Tom Hardy, whom also I like Tom Hardy, but he definitely comes with like people just dropping to their knees and like, oh my god, it's the greatest actor of all time, Tom Hardy. And I'm just kind of like, yes, he's good, and in fact can be very good, but like kind of not the biggest deal in the world. Half his movies are just like, you know, it's just like, that's not acting, it's ridiculous.
All you're doing is just looking at the only other Tom Hardy movie you can remember, which is The Dark Knight Rises.
No,
where he played Bane.
No, I'm actually referring to Dunkirk, which was I could actually understand him when he was playing Bane.
I haven't seen Dunkirk.
Dunkirk, so. Well, that's also a movie people love that I think is not very good. So surprise, surprise.
Wow, Longino's just throwing out the controversy. Fuck Chris Nolan. Fuck George Miller. Fuck these dudes.
But it's Tom Hardy's another example. It's the same feeling. It's not that I dislike the movie. It's that everyone's freaking out. And I'm like, it's fine. And people saying it's the greatest action movie of all time. I'm just like, I'm sorry. No way. Like, no way, no how. There's no way. Because you know what the greatest action movies of all time have? A reason to care about the people in the movie? Dialogue scenes where you get to know them? You got your, you know, your diehards and your matrixes and all this. Like,
your Road Warriors?
Yes, even the original Road Warrior. I love spectacle, but I need, in a film, I need more than just spectacle. It's just a spectacle movie. That's it.
I disagree.
Okay, we'll see.
Again, here's the thing. I want to address a couple points here. Number one, I like Tom Hardy, and I'm one of those guys who, like, when he does something, I tend to be like, well, I'll just watch it because he's in it.
Sure.
But he's shown me, like, he was in that series, the TV show, whose name I always forget, where he's kind of the main guy in that.
Oh, people will hate us, but I don't remember.
I don't remember either, title. But and we can't look it up because that would break the purity of our blah, blah. But he was also in this movie called Locke, which is amazing.
Sure.
Which, for those of you who may not have seen Locke, L-O-C-K-E, it's about a man driving in his car, basically his life being ruined over the telephone. And it sounds like the most boring thing on earth. It's very interesting, and he is the main reason why, because everything rests on his performance. He's great in that. All that said, he's just in this just to be the famous person. He is not given any more dialogue than I think, you know, Mel Gibson was given in The Road Warrior. I think that's fine because that's what we've stripped Mad Max down to.
Sure.
So I can see why, like, why do you care about Tom Hardy? It's like, not necessarily. I don't necessarily care at all, but like, he's perfectly fine in this movie.
Well, maybe that's a stumbling point that I'll get over this time, because I'll admit I went to Mad Max as a fan. I went to Fury Road being like, I love The Road Warrior. Mel Gibson was awesome in Mad Max. Tom Hardy, he is good. I cannot wait to root for Mad Max in this movie. And then cut to 20 minutes in, and I'm like, I don't care about this guy at all. At all.
You don't care about a man strapped to the front of a car?
Because there's no, if I recall, the movie starts, he's just in prison, and then he's doing some parkour, like, unbox shit, jumping all around with 500 people. We have no introduction to, like, who this guy, I mean, I know it's Mad Max, but, like,
well, he starts. They start on the road, but I don't think he gets any more introduction than what you're talking about.
Well, isn't he captured basically immediately? And then
I mean, there's a chase in the very beginning. Yeah. Like, he's captured in the first thing you see is him pissing on a lizard. And the first thing you also see, which throws a lot of kinks into the fan theories, is you see the car, the Interceptor from Road Warrior.
Okay, I don't remember
that. This may actually fall continuity-wise after the Road Warrior.
That would make the most sense to me, that this is between Road Warrior and Thunderdome.
Right.
That makes sense.
It may also be that another guy just found a car just like it and heard the legend and made it just like his car, but we'll see. I mean, it'll depend. What is his eye all fucked up and he's got the brace on his leg? I mean, if they have that continuity in there, then it's like, okay, then this is the same guy. If not,
maybe
it's not the same guy as my thought. However, your second point that the movie is just too much and it's not the best action movie ever. I don't know if it's the best action movie ever, but especially in the last 20 years, and we've gone over this and over this ad nauseum the last three episodes, but like most of our action movies are CG bullshit. George Miller went back and he's like, okay, I know some of this is going to be CG. It's just safer that way, but I'm going to do as practical as I can. And if you watch the behind the scenes of this movie, if anybody has seen any clips or anything of this movie, there's people like on the sides of cars with sticks and flipping through the air. And it's like, well, they're certainly chained into place and they've got stuff, you know, they've got harnesses that'll be digitally erased later. But these are stuntmen doing actual stunts. Again, real stunts in real time. And it's still fucking dangerous as shit because they're on moving vehicles.
Yes. And my reaction to that is that George Miller did them a huge disservice by shitting all over the movie with this chromed out crazy color filter that makes it look super fake. This is another thing that really bothered me. Everyone has shown me this awesome behind the scenes footage, and every time I look at it I go, that does look awesome. I wish the movie looked like that. Because it looks like diarrhea. It looks so fucking bad. It looks like a child got into a color corrector and just cranked everything up to orange and red.
And I have to say, I kind of loved that.
I hate it.
Oh, I kind of loved it.
And here's the problem is it makes everything read fake as fuck to me. Like, I know they're really doing that, and I know it's real, but it looks like CG bullshit. It looks like a bad CG bullshit movie. Like, and I know it's not. So why the fuck did he put this stupid fucking color filter on the whole movie? I hate it.
I don't know, except all I can say is that the latest temptation in movies is to go the complete opposite way. Even, you know, 4 years ago when we started, the big thing was, well, we're muting everything. All the colors are very muted. Everything's very drab and monochrome and stuff like that. So for him to be like, well, I'm just going to go the opposite way is... I mean, maybe it's just him being like, yeah, I'm going to go left and everybody's going right. But there is something to that. It's like, that movie does not look like any other movie. Even with the...
Yes, because it's a bad idea.
I disagree, obviously. But I feel like there's something to... I mean, Thunderdome could have used a fucking color pop like that. I mean, if you saw Thunderdome with all that shit on it, I mean, you might think better
of it.
But
Thunderdome needed some help. So, well, you know, Thunderdome honestly, needed that point, something. Anything. But what I'm saying is Road Warrior doesn't look like that. Road Warrior looks real.
Sure.
Mad Max looks real.
I mean,
why the hell is this crap on the movie?
I mean, well, maybe it's part and parcel of him using any CG at all, because I don't know his mind. I mean, I'm just guessing, but maybe to him it's like, well, the fact that I have to use any CG at all means that I want to crank up the fakery. I mean, maybe he's cranking up the noise of color to be like, well, we're using CGI. I just want to distract from the CGI to make it, you know, look more like this world I'm creating. Mm. I don't know. I mean, it could just be because he went on to famously make a black and white version of this movie also, which I haven't seen, but he said
that's true. Maybe I'll like more
because
it'll not have that color look.
Well,
on
right.
It.
I mean, it would only have the stuff you're talking about. I mean, I would like to
be
that.
Clear, the film we are going to watch tonight is the theatrical release with this color filter. We debated, do we watch this black and white version?
Right.
But to be completely fair, we're going to watch it as was in the theater.
Right.
I will say, to just sort of defend my reaction a bit as well, I think everyone has had an experience like this, and I'm sure you have too, Nelson, where I call it the, like, tipping the scales effect. You know what I mean? Where you exit a movie, you feel however you feel. Maybe you're somewhere in the middle. You don't have outright hatred for something, but you're just kind of like, yeah, it was fine.
Right.
And then everyone around you is just cartwheeling through the aisles, confetti in the air, like, oh my God, we were here on the fucking day of Revelations when the greatest film ever came out. And you're sitting there going like, what? Did I see the same movie? Like, yeah, I don't hate it, but like, why is everyone freaking out? And so then you start to like hate it because you feel like, no, the record needs to be set straight. And no, it's not as good as all that. And no, it's not the greatest action movie ever. Are you out of your fucking mind? And then you just start to get irritated. And then everyone has the same reaction. Eh, I didn't think it was that good. What? Oh my God. What's wrong with you? It must be how people who've never seen Star Wars feel as they're berated for not seeing Star Wars. No wonder people haven't seen that movie hate it.
Yeah, that's why people hate you specifically.
I'm actually very aware of this reaction.
I'm teasing.
Yes, but I try not to freak out on people if they haven't seen Star Wars. But like, I don't know. There's a little bit of that going on for me too, I will confess.
Right.
So despite all my bitching and moaning and stuff, I actually do kind of want to give this one another, like, a fair shake.
Right. Well, and I feel like now that you have other things to compare it to, especially coming right after Thunderdome, I have to think it's going to get at least a little bit of a, yeah, well, it's not Thunderdome.
Right. Yes. There is a difference between going to the theater, I haven't seen Mad Max in 20 years, or Road Warrior, and I'm very pumped, versus like, yeah, we both just watched Thunderdome, and that wasn't very good.
Yeah, I mean, it had its moments, yeah. But you know what's
weird? And I
feel
like this will definitely be better than that movie.
You know what's weird? Roger Ebert, that was his favorite of the... until Fury
Ebert's
Road.
Ebert's weird sometimes.
He was. He just...
Sometimes he loves movies I love. Sometimes he loses his mind.
I mean, I'm fascinated by his writing, and so I always tend to give him the benefit of the doubt, but man... Anyway.
Yeah, he's a weird guy. Or was a weird guy. Rest in peace, Roger.
Well, anyway, I mean, do we need to, I feel like we've jumped into this movie sort of like as if everybody knows what we're talking about. It is fairly recent,
sure, sure.
But Furiosa actually works for the bad guy. I think she's his enforcer or something
She's
like one
right.
of his Amazon thing. And he doesn't know her. The bad guy does not know that she is planning to betray him. So I think like Mad Max escapes or she takes him out or something. But then she like splits off and is like, okay, we're on our way. And then there's another dude who's like one of these, you know, mutant idiots who is sort of representative of all the like just working man mutants. He's the one who sprays his teeth with the spray can of chrome and says, oh, what a lovely, lovely... He's sort of the eyes through which we see like the bad guys, but he's kind of sympathetic in that he's kind of stupid. And
sure,
you're like, I don't remember exactly, but it seems almost like a metaphoric like rah-rah patriotism type thing. I wonder now if I'll watch it again and be like, oh geez, 4 years ago this seemed extreme, now this just seems like everyday life to have people just go, ah, I'm gonna kill everybody in sight because the big dude on top said I should do it. Know what I'm saying?
You know what I'm realizing thinking about the movie? No wonder people love it now, because it's like the meme version of Mad Max. You know what I mean? Like it's like everything is requoted and gift out and like, oh, look at the guy playing the guitar with flames. Woo. Why? Who cares? And that like, oh, what a lovely day. Oh, what a lovely day. Like that's, what is he on, E-bombs world? Like, what is it? Like, you know, it's just a meme. It doesn't even mean anything. And it's that, like, isn't it funny? Because it's weird.
Well, now, hold on. He is no
the
more...
The humongous is totally different.
I rest
That's
my case.
The guy with shoulder pads and the hockey mask is totally different.
This series has a long, proud history of people being completely weird for no
right.
particular reason.
But they're not annoying. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, the humongous isn't annoying.
Come on now.
This guy was annoying.
Well, you can't tell me that none of these fucking mutants in this fucking series have been annoying.
Not a one.
See, now you're just being obtuse.
I'm just saying. Even I'll give Thunderdome the thing. It's dying time. That's a good line.
I mean, there's a lot of good lines in this
one. Oh, what a lovely
one.
Day. Like, try again. Like, that's not that good. That's not that good. How is that the quote?
What do you mean, how is that the quote? It's funny.
People talk about all... No, it's not.
It's funny.
Well, obviously it's subjective, but
obviously,
I did not find it.
I think it's funny because he's talking about going to kill someone, and with that, and it's so, I don't know, it's almost, it's like such an English / British / Australian, like, oh, what a lovely day, when they're hopping in fucking, you know, these giant death machines to kill people. It's
right.
Like, I don't know. I was fine with it. I don't care what you think.
Well, there's a difference between fine with it and like putting it.
Okay, let me put it a different way. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
I was fine with it because I was enjoying myself. I enjoyed the ride. I enjoyed the adrenaline. Now, because we are watching this like fourth in a row of all these other ones, it may seem repetitive, but I'm guessing that with the 20 years he had to think about it, I'm fairly certain that George Miller was like, I'm going to try some things I've never tried. Because that was the other problem with Thunderdome, is it was more or less a rehash of the final chase was just a rehash of Road Warrior and not as interesting.
Right.
But this one, I can, you remember the like people jumping from thing to thing. I mean, I remember some of the stunt work. It's hard to even describe them, but like I remember it and it's like, yeah, I can't wait to see that shit again. And even just like the imagery of like Mad Max strapped to the front of a car with like a big giant metal, you know, bit in his mouth.
I know, but that's what I mean, is it's hard to remember spots. Like, all the I remember is just the chaos.
Right.
And the feeling. I don't remember an ebb and flow of, like, oh, this one part. Like, if you talk about The Matrix, like, oh, man, remember when he kung fu fought on the rooftop and dodged the bullets? Like, you remember the spot.
Right.
And the moment. Even though it's, well, talking about memeable, that's been done to fucking death. But it's like you can call out beats.
Right.
I dare someone to say like their favorite action moment of Fury Road. It's just kind of all gels together into one like chaotic bouquet.
I mean, I couldn't remember most of the action from Road Warrior. That didn't make it any less awesome.
Touche.
I
don't know. What I mean is I remember, okay, they're attacking the town and coming at that. Oh, I remember they're driving and it's a chase. I remember the gyrocopter. Like, this is like all we got is Guitar Guy. I remember that.
Well, that's because it's one of the best. That is one of the best images in cinema.
It is, and I'm not going to front on that one. That was the best part of the movie, hands down.
I mean, that is honestly George Miller probably hitting his apex as far as imagery. It's like they're getting ready to go to war, and there's a guy playing a guitar. Number one, there's a guy standing on a fucking truck.
It's pretty good.
And then he starts shooting flames out of his guitar. It's fucking
amazing.
Honestly,
if he was the whole movie, I'd probably be on board.
Yeah, he's there. Well, he even like meets an untimely demise as well. I mean, nobody is safe in this movie. That's the great thing.
The joke's going to be on me when we go watch this, and it's like it just turns out I was a tired dad, and this is unquestionably amazing, and I have to like walk back all of my shit talk.
I mean, I have to give you credit. I mean, in real life, you're nowhere near as pliable with giving credit to things, but like on this show, you've been incredibly fair with like stuff like. When we started this show 4 years ago, I thought Longino and I were going to be fighting all the time because this is what we do in real life.
Sure.
We get this bit in our mouths about something. It's like, and it's not even something worth fighting about. It's like, I like Lost. I like Battlestar Galactica. Let's fight for 6 hours about nothing interesting at all. And so I thought, well, that'll be fun. Everybody will love that. And then we get on the show and we're fair and polite and we actually give things their due. So
there is a sort of feeling of objective truth we need to discover. Like, I think that's what's interesting about the whole premise of holding up. Like, it rather than just bitching and moaning, like I tend to do, you are correct. Like, we actually have a mission and we're going back and I think that's why it's helpful to rewatch things.
Yeah.
Because quite often the first viewing gets so imprinted on you and that is the truth to you. Yeah. Like, me sitting here ranting about how I don't like the movie. And then I could watch it again and have a totally different feeling about it. I think it's very helpful. I mean, you know, Face Off.
Right.
I bitched about Face Off for 30 minutes, came back and ate every word I said. And I promise, if I'm wrong about Fury Road, I will happily eat the shit I just shoveled and proclaim it good. But we'll see. I'm genuinely curious. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe I'm not.
I'm not going to debate any further. That's the best I'm going to get out of this, so I'm going to stop right there.
Well, that being said, Mr. Nelson, it is time for us to wager before we go into the movie. John Nelson, will Mad Max Fury Road hold up?
I am going to say yes. The only real question to me is where I'm going to place it in the pantheon of Mad Max films after tonight's viewing. Is it still going to be like, man, that was something, or is it going to be like, it's all right. It's better than Thunderdome, but not as good as blah, blah. So I'm going to say it holds up, and I'm going to say it's second only to Road Warrior is what I'm going to say.
Okay.
I mean, that's like the safest vote in the whole world, but
unsurprisingly, I'm going to come in with it does not hold up, considering I just berated the movie. But I'm going to give it this caveat. I think it will be better than Thunderdome.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're talking about Thunderdome bar. Like it's a bad movie. That's the sucky thing is Thunderdome
it kind of is.
It's not let's bad. Be honest,
it kind of is bad.
Well, it's just kind of mediocre compared to the greatness.
Mediocre bad. Like, well, it's not good.
I don't know. There's some good things in it.
It has good moments, but in the totality, it's a bad movie.
Well, I mean, it also should get a bump just for Zeitgeist. I mean, we're still using the word Thunderdome. Yeah.
Well, that's the best part of it. The name Thunderdome.
Right.
Yes. But anyway, I think it will be better than that, but I don't think it's touching Mad Max or Road Warrior. I really don't.
All right.
We'll see. Anyway, it's time for us to go watch Mad Max Fury Road, and we'll be right back.
What a lovely, lovely day.
In this wasteland, I am the one who runs from both the living and the dead. Reduced to a single instinct. Survive.
It is by my hand! You will rise! From the ashes of this world!
We are not things! We are not!
Where is she taking them? I want them back! They're my property!
Oh, what a day! What a lovely day!
Want to get through this?
Let's go!
As the world fell, each of us in our own way was broken. It was hard to know who was more crazy.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have returned from Fury Road, Mr. John Nelson.
You know what, folks? Whatever he says in the next 30 minutes, he stayed awake.
Just barely. There was a hot minute there at the end where I was about to pass right the F out. It's still touch and go. Is this a dream right now? I'm not sure. I'm feeling pretty sleepy, but I made it through the movie. I did see the entirety of the film. First of all, in terms of misrememberings, I will correct the idea that often a complaint, and I'm sure I even said it at the beginning of this movie that I've raised, is that this movie has no downtime. I will correct myself in that clearly the first time I saw it, I slept through the entirety of the downtime. So it would sort of explain my perception of like, oh, it's just one big car ride and that's it. Because that's all that I was conscious for the first time I saw it. So this time I can at least correct the record and say there's a fair amount of middle movie downtime.
Yeah.
There's a huge bunch of action in the beginning and the end and then like a little bit in the middle. But there are some downtime spots. So
it followed more or less the pattern set down by Road Warrior, I think. It's like
sure.
Chase... Downtime, a little bit of downtime, more chase.
Yes.
A little bit of downtime.
So in terms of a rewatching, you know, obviously I was a little ill-informed in that arena. So I just wanted to correct that and make it clear that obviously I was sort of misspeaking on that. But I hate to say this, but I honestly was like trying to give it a fair shake, and I kind of feel almost identical to how I felt the first time I saw it. I'll straight up, like, I don't like that movie
really
very much at all. Yeah, like, I really don't.
Well, what do you dislike having actually seen it for the first time?
Sure. I mean, I think it's dull. I think it's really dull. Like, I think it's
really
a lot of mindless action without a whole lot of heart or purpose, and I just get super fucking bored by it. Like, I think it's a boring ass movie,
man,
straight up. Like, yeah, it's, you know, got action and stuff, but that's it. That is all it has. All it had, like, literally this whole like
My name is Max in the Wasteland.
Like, Tom Hardy sucks straight up. Like, he's not good in that role. He's a husk of a performance. It's just a little talking voice. And that's it. Like, there's nothing to that part. Like, what a waste. Like, I cast anyone else. Even the war boy, bald-headed kid was, like, at least emoting and, you know, it took a shine to, you know, Elvis's granddaughter. So, like, I at least had some stakes with him, but Max is a complete fucking waste in this movie. Cut him out of the movie. There's no point in being in there. That being said, even without him, it's just, you know, here's my thing about it. The original Mad Max movies had a fierce, like, originality to them. I feel like they were trailblazers in terms of the genre, right? Like, Mad Max is kind of an interesting start, and then Road Warrior is basically the template for post-apocalypse crazy movie, right? This movie feels to me like all that's been said and done, and it has absolutely nothing new to bring to the table, so it sort of overcompensates with just fanfare and kind of over gratuitousness. I think it actually starts irritating me pretty much immediately. Like, for instance, when Max wakes up after having been knocked out by the war boys and he's, you know, getting tattooed and prepared, he's trying to make his escape, and then they just have this crazy gratuitous, he's seeing visions of his, I'm assuming, dead child or something, or daughter.
I took that to be like, because his child in the first movie was very
right, it was like a baby,
like an infant, so I didn't take that to be his child. I
or
took
whoever that,
to,
that is,
well, because the things they were saying was like, you promised to help us. I took that to be like, there was an adventure that we didn't see off screen, like, or, he promised to protect somebody and they
haunted
died
by the ghosts of those he's failed and whatever, right. You know, I can pick up on that, and even the audio I don't mind, but there's just this really frivolous and over the top, like, super zoom in at the screen of, like, skulls and people freaking out, and it's just really off-putting and such an odd way to begin. And I think my key thing is, like, style over substance. Like, it's all style.
Well, it's definitely
for
style.
No reason and no substance.
Well, I debate that there's no substance. I say there's substance, but I see, to me, it's like, this is the same template as the Road Warrior, and you may say, well, it doesn't add much to that. I would say, well, then you're probably right. But as for it having no substance, it's like, well, it has as much substance as the Road Warrior. If you say, well, the Road Warrior got there first and thus wins the no substance contest, and it's like, okay, that's fine. But I think there's stuff there. If you wanted to have stuff, it's like, there were the Brides of Immortan Joe, who was the bad guy in this one. The Brides of Immortan Joe had their time to be, like, sympathetic. You know, you had Furiosa, who I thought was incredibly sympathetic, because here she is sort of sacrificing all to try and get these women home. And then Max himself, it's like, eh, sure, he's haunted by the demons of the past. He's always haunted by the demons of the past. So that's like no great shakes.
Sure.
I agree. But at the same time, it's also no more nor less than he was given, say, in, like, Thunderdome. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not like they've reinvented the wheel, but it's not like he's getting any less than that.
Sure.
I don't think.
I do think it's a tonal thing with me. Like, I'm highly irritated by the movie before we get to Furiosa and the brides or the women or whatever. So, like, at that point, it's already lost me. I think that's a lot of it. Like, there's just sort of a tonal aesthetic that is, I find, irritating. Like, it's just so coming at you so aggressively,
right,
to really no point or purpose, that I just am, like, annoyed by it. So I think by the time, and nothing really wins me back for some reason in that stuff, and it's I don't find it entertaining. Like, I love to try to figure out the difference, because I see what you're saying, like, oh, well, I mean, Road Warrior is just kind of mindless, pointless action, but, like, I'm entertained by the Road Warrior. I'm entertained by Mad Max. I have an emotional stake in it. I laugh at things. I think things are funny. I think things are silly. This just irritates me. It's an annoying movie. Like, so I think because of that, I just have a real hard time seeing the positives in it.
That's interesting. Well, let me ask you before we delve too deep down that rabbit hole, what about the color stuff? Did it bother you again?
Yes. Like, literally everything I said, I went into it like, oh, maybe I was a sleepy dad and I got it all. Like, no, it's exactly the movie I remember.
Well, except so for the part that exactly you skipped over entirely.
Sure, I'll tell you what, I didn't miss much. I'll tell you that. Like, everything I said before we went in, I feel exactly the same way. Like, nothing changed.
You're
me.
Useless.
I'm sorry. It's just, and I gave it a second shot. Like, you did. I tried. I don't, that movie is so annoying. Like, why do people, please explain to me, Mr. Nelson, like, why
well,
is
look,
this so
I can't,
great?
I can't explain. If you don't like that movie, it's like trying to explain to somebody who doesn't like The Road Warrior why they should like it. It's like, hey, it's crazy and violent and action-packed and people are shooting each other and there's a little bit of heart, but there's mostly a lot of, you know, chases and gunplay. I don't know how to explain to you how to like it, but that's why I like it.
But is there just something I'm not seeing? Like, I'm really having a hard time.
I don't know how to, I mean, if you don't like the color, it's like, I don't know where to start with you because...
Well, it's not the color. It's just like, people love this movie. Like, they love this movie.
Well, now having seen all these movies in a row, I think my prediction was correct. It's like, it's good, but I still like The Road Warrior the best. But I think mostly for what I was saying before, it's like, well, The Road Warrior set the template and that is a hard act to follow.
Sure.
So if they're following mostly the exact same template, it's like, okay, yeah, you're doing, and they do it really well. I would say the action in this one is at least on a par with The Road Warrior in its own way. It's a different type of action, because in The Road Warrior it's all practical and all dangerous and all, you know, there's no CG to help bolster it. But I mean, demanding that a movie look like The Road Warrior in the modern day is just, I mean, it's not even safe to do that anymore, so you're never going to see a movie like that again.
You gotta do it.
But you're not going to. Even Quentin Tarantino, who fucking eschews CGI, used CGI in Death Proof, so it's sure. Like, you're not going to get a movie anymore of this type without that.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that's another thing I was really keeping an eye on, of like, okay, people really tout this movie's practical effects and everything reads super fake to me. What is my, like, uncanny valley disconnect that I'm having trouble with? And now seeing it again, I can tell that there's obviously real things going on, and then it's just diarrhea all over with, like, fake dust and like, superimposing two shots together into, like, some super zoom in that has that kind of green screen fakery kind of like shake to it.
Right.
And then there's a lot of like whatever, yes, they went and shot them, but then whatever, you know, valley they're running through is obviously not real half the time. So there's a lot of like, well, we shot these cars and this is all really happening, but the background's fake and stuff. So I think a lot of that just doesn't work for me, because it gives it this kind of fake look, especially when they drive into that stupid like superstorm that it just becomes like a PS4 game at that point. Like, that's so I'm sorry, it's like, and then every time I see behind the scenes footage, I'm like, that movie looks 100 times better than the movie I saw. Like, and I'm not making that up, right? Like, there was like a lot of like blending of things and this kind of general veneer of like,
there was, but
trickery and fakery.
My guess is that a lot of the stuff, I mean, the veneer is the CGI stuff you're seeing. It's not like, well, here's the frame and there's three cars in the frame and a giant truck behind them and there's dudes jumping all around the giant truck. The CG veneer is like, well, they took off the crane and stuff that they were using to hold up the dudes and they made they popped the colors, because that was part of it, is like they definitely like attempted to pop the colors artificially. And I think that was...
And there's a whole lot of, and the other movies did this where they would speed things up to make it look like they were going faster.
Right.
But I'll tell you what changed from a sort of style wise in this movie. This movie does a shitload of pop zooming in and like, it's slow and it's fast and it's slow and it, you know, that kind of like really stylized, like whoosh, whoosh, floosh, you know, thing. And like where it's ramping up and down speeds.
Right.
In a very stylistic choice that I think I also find just kind of aggressive and irritating. Mm. Like, I would actually like it way more if it was just a static shot of the insanity that I could just enjoy and watch. So, like, it's already crazy.
Right.
You don't need to, like, reality show super extra crazy it up. It's already fucking insane. You have a guy playing a guitar and shooting flames. It's already perfect. Why would you shit all over it with, like, effects and fake dust and a fake background and a super zoom that's not real. Like, you ruined it, man. Like, it was perfect and you just fucked it up. Like, I don't know.
Well, I think part of it is just there's a different filmmaking aesthetic at work, period. I mean, in the modern day, it's like you can say, well, I would accept it without all these bells and whistles, but I wonder. You know, you've seen it with all the bells and whistles, but I wonder, would you look at the movie shot without this stylistic stuff in it, and would you go, yes, I accept that movie for what it is? And I don't know. I'm not talking about you specifically. I'm just saying someone like yourself who doesn't care for this movie, I think there is a different, I mean, George Miller is who he is, but there's a different filmmaking style at work now. Partly, I'm guessing, because it was shot digitally, I'm assuming.
Probably.
I mean, in the modern day, there's almost no film anymore. So it was probably shot digitally. It looks different than it used to. I mean, and you can't get around the fact that, like, well, it's going to look different. So I'm guessing what he just did was just leaned into it. He just decided, okay, I'm going whole hog into this different look. Because if it's going to look slightly different, then I don't think that helps him any. It's like, it looks like Mad Max, except that sort of not. But if he's like, well, fuck it. It looks completely different than the Mad Max you're used to. But it's 20 years later. I'm trying something different. It may even be it like, because we went back and forth during the movie. It's like, is this Mad Max the original? Is this a new guy? Is this, you know... canonically,
it honestly almost doesn't matter.
Well, I agree. I at one point you said, well, it's probably a different universe, and I'm like, I'm fine with that. I mean, even especially because if you try and squeeze this into the continuity of the previous three movies, it doesn't fit anywhere. Like, he's wearing
his car gets destroyed.
Right. He's
so
got his interceptor.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah, he's got his classic interceptor, and you're like, oh, this takes place probably before the Road Warrior, and he's got a brace on his leg. Okay, it's between Mad Max and the Road Warrior, except the car blows up and you're like, oh, okay, so did he find another one looked exactly like the first one? I doubt it. So again, if you're trying to squeeze it into continuity, it doesn't work. It honestly works better, you know, continuity wise if you just say, it was the kid who grew up and found a Charger just like his and, you know, right, remodeled it, and he hasn't even called himself Max to this point. He's just been wandering the wastelands, and at the end of the movie he decides, I'm gonna be Max. I mean, that could be the story too.
It could be. I mean, and here's the thing. I understand. I am sure there are people listening to me say this, and you're in your cars or have your headphones in, and you're just screaming at me. Like, I've been there. I know that listen where you're like, oh my God, this guy, he doesn't get it. I love this movie. He's so wrong. How could he be so wrong? And I will admit that obviously this is, I think, a subjective thing.
Right.
There is just something going on tonally and style-wise that is just not my thing. And not only, it'd be one thing if I just didn't care, but I think it's actively irritating to me.
Mm.
So that's why I'm so disengaged with it.
Right.
Like, from frame fucking one, everything's just like, nope, wouldn't do that. Nope, bad choice. No. Like... it's just odd to me.
That's interesting.
Because from a bird's eye, it's not that different than Road Warrior. Like, right. I could see that being confusing. Like, what is the difference? And I'm really trying to figure out why I feel this strongly and this negatively about it. Because it on paper doesn't seem that different.
Well, why is this not as good as, say, Thunderdome then?
And I actually would agree with that. I mean, that sounds crazy. I like Thunderdome more than this movie.
That's what I'm saying.
Straight
so why
up,
is Thunderdome better? Because you said straight up that movie was bad.
Yes.
Before we came in here.
Yes, I did.
And I would
so
argue
you can
with
wager
you.
Wager my feelings on this movie.
Well, but here's what I would argue with this.
Yes.
Having looked at Thunderdome in this movie, I would say you can look at this movie and say, well, I don't like it. But to look at it and say there is no skill behind it is just ignoring obvious.
No, I never said that. I never said there was no skill.
But this is what this is the difference that I'm making. I'm saying there's some skill involved in Thunderdome, but it's mostly, you know, it stands out. The skill in Mad Max stands out, whereas I think the skill of this movie is obvious, and maybe it's on display too much, if that's your complaint. But...
Well,
I don't know. To me,
it's almost like one skill was all that was focused on, and all other skills ignored. Like, yeah, I'll just go cuckoo bananas with this stunt crew and not waste any time with any of my other skills of like decent dialogue or like coming up with good characters.
What more dialogue do you want? I mean,
the dialogue sucks, man.
The dialogue is no different than any other Mad Max movie.
No. I'm sorry. Like this whole. What are you out for? Redemption. Like, did a two-year-old write this movie? Like, I'm sorry.
This is the same shit sucks. That's been in the Road Warrior, that's in Mad Max.
Dude. I'm sorry. Like,
they say there aren't heroes in the world anymore. Well, I say screw them. That's actual dialogue from Mad Max.
I understand. And I know I'm being hyperbolic. And I know I'm being sort of aggressive about it. I think what it is Mad Max is satirical.
Mm.
Road Warrior is satirical.
Hmm.
This movie just feels like, I mean, obviously if someone's fucking playing a guitar and they're drumming and stuff, there's a bit of insanity to it.
Right.
But everyone is acting so fucking serious. Like, it's so up its ass with how everyone, no one is acting the way it is, which is like, this is so fucking silly and stupid. Like, the villains in the Road Warrior, guy gets his fingers cut off, everyone's laughing. It's right. Just all, it's like a goof. Like, it's silly. It's wrestling. This is like watching, you know, a fucking MMA and everyone's taking it super goddamn seriously. And you're just like, this is so dumb. Can we please acknowledge how dumb this is? Like, it's just so. And then the score, don't even get me started on that. Hey, I got an idea for a score. It's 5 fucking hours later. Get the fuck out of here. Like, that's the movie. If you're like, for 2 fucking straight hours, then you'll love Mad Max Fury Road, because that's all it is. That's it. Sorry.
Man, I have not seen Longino get this excited about a movie in 50 episodes, folks.
It's just I feel like I'm at the end of like Invasion of the Body Snatchers and everyone's walking around and I'm just like, they're here already. It's what you're next. Like, I've lost my mind.
You're the only one. Yes, you're the only sane one in an insane universe.
My superiority complex in full effect. But hey, the short of it is I didn't like it.
So. Caught that. Jeez, my God. Debbie Downer on part 4 on this. Jesus. I liked it. What do you think of them apples?
Okay. Well, here, I'll stop bitching a moment.
Specifically,
what things did you remember liking that you still liked? What were things that you really enjoyed the second time? Like, what did anything change for you? I'm curious.
Not really. I mean, I would say having watched it back to back with the other Mad Maxes, it does kind of suffer in comparison just because you see everything that came first. I mean, it's like watching, right. You know, Cape Fear and then the, you know, Scorsese's Cape Fear. And it's like, well, Scorsese's is, you know, a lot more fun, but, you know, right. You could definitely see where everything came from.
I mean, I could see if it's been 20 years and you're like, I like Mad Max and right. I haven't seen one of these in a long time. It would probably hold up better than having just seen the other one.
Yeah. And I mean, this is 4 years ago that I saw it, you know, so it's much fresher in memory. I actually, though, I mean, I know you bitched about it and don't think that it counts, but for whatever reason, but one of my favorite moments in the movie is when they get to Furiosa's utopia and she realizes, oh, we've just come to the end of the road and it's not here, and then she just drops to the dust and then she screams out no or whatever it is, you know, the usual bullshit. But I mean,
why? No.
Yeah, in the moment before she screams I was actually really like, oh man, that sucks, because I was invested in her journey. I mean, again, to me she's the main character of the movie, and this guy Max that's coming along for the ride is just, he's crossing over from his series into Furiosa's series. But I was actually
dislike her the least. Furiosa's okay, and the brides are okay. I have no hatred for them.
Well, you actually liked one of the brides, though. She's from one of your most recent favorite movies.
Yes. Riley Keough, who also is in Under the Silver Lake, which I'm obsessed with.
Oh, my God.
If you also want to see a movie that's probably obnoxious.
Holy shit, folks. You want to get Longino started on him.
Oh, yes.
Have him talk at length about Under the Silver Lake.
It's a fabulous movie.
It's by the guy who directed It Follows.
Yes, David Robert Mitchell. But anyway, that's for another podcast.
Yeah. Well,
but yes, Riley Keough's in it, and Zoe Kravitz. Lenny Kravitz's daughter.
Oh, Lenny Kravitz's, yes.
Yeah, I thought she was good too. And like, actually, all of the women, that's the only silver lining of the movie, at least for me. I like the idea of, and the theme of women emancipating themselves from literally slavery from a warlord who's a piece of shit. Like that as a theme right. is good.
Well, what's crazy is this, I mean, maybe it's just seeing the world in a way that very few people were willing to look at, but it like anticipates Me Too in a big fucking way.
Yeah,
like,
it definitely fits right in there.
And it's certainly like, I mean, I don't know how you can see this unless you got a crystal ball, but like an insane leader with, you know, weird hair and big fat dude that they're having to stuff into a plastic armor every day that is just insane and using women as his sex slaves and shit that, you know. That doesn't remind us of anybody, does it?
Yeah. not at all.
Not at all. So it's an interesting, like, it can't even be a satire of the modern day because it came before the modern day, oddly, but it is, like, oddly prescient.
Well, I mean, that shit existed before people were calling it
absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely. And again,
fits.
It's not like, you know, oh, my God, he saw everything. And like I say, he had a crystal ball. But at the same time, it's interesting that these themes have been pushed so to the forefront because now I almost feel like, it's not like it loses points, but it also is like, oh yeah, we've now seen this a lot in entertainment lately. So if this came out now, you'd be like, eh, you'd kind of probably dock at a point because it's like, yeah, I've seen a lot of this lately. Whereas this came out 4 years ago before everybody
sure.
had
definitely ahead of the curve.
Yeah, it? So there it definitely gets that. I don't know. There was something about to me, it is a different movie and a different series really than the other Mad Max movies. It almost doesn't fit with the other Mad Max movies, but I kind of liked it for that. I was
sure.
actually fine with it.
I mean, I do appreciate even though I'm, you know, have issues obviously with the direction they went, I appreciate and understand that you can't just do the same thing.
Right.
So I'll give it points for trying. Like, right. you know, like I'd rather see a movie try and fail or obviously succeed with most people than them just do like a carbon copy. I mean, that's probably one of the biggest sins of Thunderdome is like, right. you know, is when it's not copying Road Warrior, it's not terribly good. And when it is copying Road Warrior, it's just a flimsy photocopy.
Right.
So I get that. You can't recapture the magic and you have to go all the way with it. If anything, maybe I'd like the movie more I probably wouldn't, but I think the Mad Max trappings are really messing me up because I have such a little affinity for the Road Warrior,
right?
That to me, that's I think why I'm so harsh,
right?
Whereas if this was just some random weird post-apocalypse movie with no Mad Max at all,
right?
I still wouldn't like it, but I'd be less like screaming about it.
Yeah, see, to me it fits the, you know, it fits the originality of the others. Like it creates it's not like it creates a post-apocalyptic world that we've never seen, but one of the things it did do is it said, okay, I'm gonna go deep into this world in a way that no one has tried. He obviously like
sure.
looked at it and said, well, I invented this shit and then everybody took and picked the bones clean on this.
Right.
What can I mean, even I actually looked this up, even the color choice was actually in response to like post-apocalyptic movies since Mad Max. He was basically like, well, here's the thing, I either want to do it completely bleached of color, black and white, which he eventually did a version of, but they initially said, no, you can't do that because no one will come see it. So he's like, fine, I'm going to just blow the color completely up because I am sick to fucking tears of seeing post-apocalyptic,
like a desaturated,
desaturated movies. And it's like, from the guy who invented them, it's like, okay, well, fair enough.
Sure.
So I appreciate not just that he tried to do something different, but he's like, I'm pushing it in a direction that no one's seen. And again, if he fails with it, then it's like, eh, well, I tried something different, unlike everybody who came before me. But I liked the color, and actually I really liked, because I was noticing like the use of red in this one particularly, like he was just like, he would like in fire he would like really bring out the reds, if someone bled he would really pump up the, like there was a scene where they're like driving at night and it's a completely like the bluest filter you've ever seen in life, and
yes,
at one point
it's almost like monochromatic.
Yeah, I mean it is monochromatic. It's almost like black and white.
Blue monochromatic.
Yeah, blue monochromatic. And Mad Max goes off and takes care of some bad guys off screen and comes back, and it's the only color you see besides blue. But you see the red of the blood on him, and I thought, oh, that's clever. I like the way he's like, every time red pops up, he makes sure that you see it. So I don't know. He thinks about what he's doing stylistically, and he does things on purpose, and it's like, I don't know.
And to be clear, you know, dipping back to the story a little bit, or what little story there is, like, none of my issues are story issues. Mm. Like, I actually think that the whole sort of allegory of the movie is pretty much fine. all of my hangups are execution, pretty much all of them. You know, that's really what I'm getting hung up on. So then it just boils down to, well, do you like this or do you not like this in terms of the execution? So obviously there's some chemistry at work where it's just not working for me.
Right.
But I appreciate and understand that people really like it. So, you know, just know that when I'm shitting on it, I'm not shitting like directly into your mouth and saying you're a terrible person. You can enjoy the movie.
You're just indirectly shitting and hoping it doesn't catch people in the mouth.
I'm just in my own outhouse taking a shit and really I'm shitting myself. That's really what's going on.
I mean, honestly, though, I mean, if you had never seen a Mad Max movie, this is really impressive, I think. I mean, if you had never seen The Road Warrior, then this would fucking blow your mind, I think. And maybe that's the thing that we're running into is a generation of people who haven't, you know, they may know what Mad Max or Road Warrior is, but I would wonder if a lot of these people...
I doubt most people have seen it.
Right. So, and I mean, it's like the thing with our friend who, our friend Trevor, who does the podcast Trevor Loves Everything. We'll discover that, oh man, I love this movie. And we're like, well, have you seen X older movies? Like, no. And we're like, oh, well, then you like this movie. You'll love the one where it had all the original stuff in it. You know what I mean?
And I guess actually to that point, it's sometimes I just have to accept that I'm an old man. Like, I do get caught up in things like that of like, oh, you should see this one. You should see that one. Oh, this old movie is better. And at a certain point, it's like, I will be aged out. There are a billion movies that I never saw that I've seen homages. I mean, I'm a Quentin Tarantino fan, so let's sit here and let's call it what it is. I just probably didn't see a lot of the movies he loves and is referencing. So I understand that that's a thing.
Right.
So I personally would be remiss and kind of sad if someone loved Fury Road and chat on Road Warrior or never saw the Road Warrior or thinks it's lesser than. To me, that's criminal, but I get it. Like, I'm old, you know, a young person probably won't like the Road Warrior that much.
Right.
And it's a time and a place. I saw it when I was a kid. I have an affinity for it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to tell you I like it other than, man, that was just fun.
I trust you. You don't have to convince me that you would like it.
It's odd to not be able to say more than just like, well, I liked watching the action and the people in it made me laugh and I felt for the people who, you know, because again, the bones of the story are so very slim on purpose. It's so stripped down and minimalist. It's like, well, if you don't like the 2 minutes of story that it has, then I mean, they don't give you much. So, and that's by design. I mean, it has as much story as any of them have insofar as like it has a story. I mean, there's more story in this than I would say in like kind of in Thunderdome, really.
Yes, most likely.
But there's more dialogue in Thunderdome. There's a lot more like chitty chat and people trying to explain the story. But I would say that there's more story. I don't know. It's hard to... he's created this world that like you don't see. It's sort of whole unto itself. You don't need much to get like what they're doing. It's like, oh wow, it's this mountain full of mutants. They're keeping all the, like in this movie, water is the big the big rarity. And you know, they've kind of, in every movie there's something that's suffering from scarcity, and this one it's water, and they do a pretty good job of showing that these guys have tons of water, all the water, and they just dole it out to all the people at the bottom of the mountain. They just give them drips and drabs and torture them with it, and basically all they're doing is just running this weird sex slave society. And then they make the mistake of capturing Max at the same time as one of their soldiers decides to go rogue. It's just this weird chemistry that blows their whole thing up. And that's all there is to it. But I really like that. I really like that it's like, well, they just captured the wrong guy at the wrong time, and one of their people decided to go nuts at the same time. And there was also the guy I mentioned earlier, the guy we've been sort of talking about, who is, I forget the actor's name. He plays the Beast in like Dark Phoenix in the X-Men movies.
Yes. This is the War Boy
that sort
of comes to their side.
Yeah, he basically starts off like, I'm gonna kill myself to say, you know, to get in good with the head honcho, and then he fails time and again at everything he tries, and so finally he basically becomes a good guy because he's failed at being a bad guy, which I kind of dug. He's just like, well, I fucked that up. I guess I'll help you guys. And then he sort of comes around to being like half a decent human being, and that was fun to see. I don't know. I agree with you that there's not tons to hang your hat on, but I'm also, I mean, I feel that way about most of this series, so I'm as invested as I can be. for that.
That's fair. That's actually fair. Like, me making some kind of claim that this movie is devoid of story and that Road Warrior is a rich, you know, narrative, you know, like just full on Merchant Ivory film or something. Like, let's not kid ourselves. Like, right. The Road Warrior is a very archetypal,
right,
pretty paper thin story. So really, I can't dock it for that. I think it's more the style.
I also like that Max is a little more mercenary in this one. I mean, he's pretty mercenary in all the movies. He sort of doesn't give a shit and acts as such. But, like, he comes upon, like, Furiosa and the pregnant women, and he's got this, you know, he's been chained to, you know, the war boy, and he's got this metal face mask he's stuck in. And the first thing he does is pull a gun on them and basically, you know, threaten to shoot him if they don't get him out of this mask. And at one point, he almost shoots War Boy. Like, he's chained to War Boy, and he finds a shotgun, puts it to War Boy's wrist, and he's about to blow his wrist off, and you're like, oh, that's gross. And he has like a moment where you're like, oh, he's feeling sympathetic, and then he pulls the trigger,
right,
and then
it just
it backfires, and he's like, oh fuck.
And actually, it's worth pointing out that he takes a shot at one of these bride women and nicks her leg to where now she's suddenly bleeding. And then later in the movie, when she's hanging on to the side of the van, she almost slips. And then Max gives her a little thumbs up like, yeah, you did it.
She
slips on her bleeding leg that he shot.
Right.
And to her death.
Right.
Her pregnant death.
She's pregnant death, by the way. Yeah.
So that's pretty grisly. And so, I mean, the movie definitely is kind of pointing out, hey, if Max hadn't shot her here,
right,
she'd be living and breathing.
Right.
And that seems to be the best I can say, some kind of theme of, like, he has all this guilt of the people that die around him. And he has his line of like, well, I mean, if you try to fix something that's broken, you'll just go crazy.
Right.
It's almost like a manifesto of why he's Mad Max. It's like, this world's so broken.
Well, and he is definitely
just,
like,
it'll drive you insane.
They've got more of his interior monologue in this one than they do in the others. Like, he keeps having these weird flashes of visions. Like, he's having literal bursts of madness where, you know, so you could say, oh, he's actually kind of been driven insane. Because he keeps seeing the ghosts of people. Yeah, I don't think you saw as much of that in the previous ones.
Yeah, he's a little more schizo in this one than certainly in the past.
Yeah, so it's an interesting, like, I don't know if you needed it. It's sort of a literalization of his name, but it is also like, well, if we're starting over and we don't want to dig too deep into the same, let's, you know, face it, fairly standard backstory, it's like, well, let's do something a little different with him.
I mean, the movie is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So I can get behind a theme of this is just insane,
right?
And I'm insane, and nothing about this makes any sense,
right? Well, and he pretty much fulfills his usual function, which is like, I'm not going to help anybody. Fine.
Gotcha.
I guess, and
I do like the sort of serialized nature of it, of him tipping his hat and kind of exiting stage right, like, you know, next week on Mad Max,
right?
He's in The Fugitive and goes to some other town and helps people.
100%.
Yeah, that I could. It's okay. I mean.
Yep. So when they do Mad Max Fury Road 2, I will be first in line.
I'll see it. I mean, that's the thing. I'll at least give it any other new Mad Max movies at least a shot.
Right.
Like, I like the series enough that I will show up.
Okay.
And, you know, I think perhaps some of my gripes are just sort of fanboy, just nerdery, probably.
Well,
it's crap.
Well, it's good to see that we've both matured and grown in the last 4 years.
Well, Mr. Nelson, I think we've arrived at the verdict time.
I hope so. Good Christ.
Did you think that Mad Max Fury Road held up?
Yes. And my prediction that I liked it, but I think the Road Warriors on top was accurate, you know, though safe. That's how it works. I predicted it correctly, but I did. I really got a kick out of this movie. I didn't get the same juice I got out of seeing The Road Warrior for the first time in however long, but like, I was afraid I was going to kind of drip your way and be like, oh, I'm going to hate it and it's going to suck to have to eat that one. But I really enjoyed it. I got a kick out of
it.
I'm
glad.
So
yeah, I'm sure it didn't help to not have a partner in crime. It's because I was pretty quiet. So I knew you
were going to be a fucking
Debbie Downer,
yeah. Gloomy Gus.
Well,
your.
My verdict is it did not hold up, if that's clear, by me ranting like a lunatic. The movie has driven me insane. And I'm mad John now. I've just lost my mind.
Well, there's one other question that needs to be answered. We asked it at the very beginning.
That's a great point. So we have now to sort of quantify here where everything landed.
Right.
We asked the question of each individual movie, did they hold up? And then we were going to ask if Mad Max as a series held up. So to run it down, the first film, Mad Max, got a double holds up.
Yeah.
We both loved it. Mad Max 2, or The Road Warrior, another double hold up.
Right.
Two thumbs up. Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, double did not hold up. Two thumbs down. We both were not feeling that one. And then finally, Mad Max Fury Road, we have a split vote. One hold up, one doesn't hold up. So, Mr. Nelson, I will now ask you, Mad Max, as a movie series, did it hold up?
I'd say yes, and not just because like it leans that way statistically, where it's like slightly right. more holds up. I actually think, I mean, if you look at the width and breadth of the series, he did something different in each movie, and maybe not successfully in each movie, but it's like each movie has its own identity. Each movie sure. has its own thing going on, and Fury Road, for whatever you know you may dislike about it, definitely has its own identity and its own way than you know its own thing that it's doing. So I actually think the series holds up really well. I mean, even like this is one of those where even the failures are like, I didn't, you know, Thunderdome I didn't enjoy, but I like there's stuff in it that's pretty fun.
Sure.
So yes. I'm on board. You know, I have no problem saying that the series held up. What about you?
I will agree. I think Mad Max is a series held up if mainly for the fact that one, the original film Mad Max was such a neat surprise. I mean, yeah. I remember we thought it'd be okay, but it was quite good. Like mm-hmm. I actually really liked that movie a lot. So ultimately, I think I like Mad Max and Road Warrior, and those hold up very strongly, whereas my dislike, I mean, I know I'm like ranting and being kind of a curmudgeon, but my dislikes of Thunderdome and Fury Road do not outweigh my joy and like of and love of Mad Max and Road Warrior. So I think ultimately, if there was only one good movie, I don't think I could say that the series hold up, but the fact that there's right. two incredibly solid movies
yeah.
and then two very flawed, but you know, are undeniably original and at least yeah. have stuff to them, I think as a series definitely holds up.
Well, it's weird I haven't, you know, besides Mad Max, I haven't thought that much about George Miller, but we were talking about him the other day. It's like, oh, he did the, you know, in the movie version of The Twilight Zone, he
yes.
did the Nightmare at 30,000 Feet that everybody remembers
right.
with John
Which
Lithgow.
Probably the best segment in that movie.
Yeah. So it's interesting to, you know, all these years later to be like, man, he's sort of, it's weird to say it like this, but at least to me, he seems sort of unappreciated
right.
for the raw originality that he's brought to everything.
Hey,
I mean,
I love Babe. So let's give the man credit.
Babe, I'm sure Happy Feet's good. I'm going to assume Happy Feet is
not,
good.
It's not kind of as annoying as Fury Road. I'm not a fan. Well, that's just me. I'm not a fan, but you know, but people seem to like Happy Feet, but
well, anyway.
My daughter loves Happy Feet.
Well, see, someone with taste likes it.
Leela, so. If you're older and you're listening to this archive, one, thank you for loving your dad and listening to it. Two, I'm sorry I'm shitting on your childhood movie. Get used to it. I have a lot of opinions.
It's probably posthumously, right? She's listening to this like at your funeral. And
Jesus
shit.
Christ. Yeah, probably. Hey, I hope you got one good laugh, Leela, as they put my coffin in the ground.
I can think of no better place to put the fucking ending on this one. Except we've got one more piece of business before we saddle up and
that
ride off, huh?
Is correct. Mr. Nelson, we need to talk about next month, our 51st episode.
Oh, my fucking God. You won't believe it's a 5 episode. No, fuck that shit.
So next month, we are going to be doing Robert Altman's Popeye. A real gear shift.
People were like, Robert Altman? Yes, yeah. Popeye. Popeye. Man.
I figured, you know, a children's movie and from a famed director would be an interesting one to tackle. And I have not seen that movie in quite a while.
I'm excited. It does feel like we're going kind of from cartoon to cartoon, but thematically it works.
Got to bring in the heart.
Cool. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening for 50 episodes.
Yes, absolutely.
Holy shit.
Whether this is your first episode or your 50th with us, we really appreciate you guys listening for the last 4 years. And, I don't think we show any signs of slowing down. We're in this for the long haul. Let's see if we can get to 100.
Yeah. Yeah, so send us suggestions for what you want to see for the 100th. Give us like an 8-movie marathon or a 10. Make us do all the Planet of the Apes.
German Bear, get your drawing hand ready because we're going to be having 100, 200, 500. And then, we'll see. Well, thank you, Mr. Nelson. Before we clock out here, just a reminder that you can email us at holduppodcast@gmail.com. There you can send us ideas for future episodes or questions or comments. Or you can visit us at holduppodcast.com. There you'll find links to our Facebook page, our Twitter page, and our Instagram page, where you can see our lovely new art for our 50th episode and future episodes.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeremy.
Yes. Thank you, Jeremy. It looks fantastic. And Mr. Nelson, until next time.
Nobody move. My name's Max.